Hey, Matt, it's Troyzan here, live from Survivor. What is going on, buddy? I got a message from your friend Matt, who said you're a huge Survivor fan, and you love the show, and you also are, like, inspired by Survivor to watch Total Drama Island. I guess isn't that the cartoon show? I think, you know, Total Drama Island... My ex-girlfriend's daughter used to watch that, but that was way back, like 10 years ago. Is it still on? Oh, this God. Total Drama Island? I just remember the song, something about like, dun-dun-dun-dun, I want to be famous, or something like that, right? I mean, and then they got like people like, they got like tribal council in the show. Anyway, it's fantastic to hear, Matt, that you're a big fan of Survivor. I love it. Today, I wore my buff for you, my One World buff. And I brought my hidden immunity idol. Check that out. That's the deal, right? Right, straight out from One World, my first season. So I wore it just for you, buddy, because I know how much you love the show. I think it's fantastic. I'm still a big fan myself. I'm here. You can see I'm here in the jungle. And it's been pouring rain, so it finally stopped a little bit, but it's still kind of like drizzling down. So hopefully my iPhone won't get like drenched. But yeah, I'm still a big fan. I watch the show like a fan, even though I've played twice. I'm kind of bummed that it's not going to be on this fall, but let's keep our fingers crossed that Survivor will come back on maybe in the spring, or they'll start to film soon, or who knows. Get me back out on my island. Third time's a charm, right, buddy? Anyway, so I heard you also do a podcast for Total Drama Island. So I guess you want to be famous. I want to be famous. Oh, I mean, that's all I remember. I don't remember even any of the characters. Wasn't there one guy, though, like a big... African-American black dude, like the chef or something? I can't remember. I just remember a guy like looked like Jeff Probst, and they had like tribal council or something like that. Anyway, I think that's fantastic. I think it's hilarious that you do a podcast for Total Drama Island. So anyway, that's amazing. You should try out for Survivor if you really love the show that much. I don't know if you want to be on the show, if you just like watching it, but my advice to get on the show is put together a 3-minute videotape. You got to go to the CBS website. There's like CBS casting at the bottom of the web page. And when you do your video, look straight at the camera, tell a story. It doesn't have to be about Survivor. You don't have to be a Navy SEAL, and you don't have to be like Mr. Firemaker and Mr. Challenge Beast. You just have to be able to tell a good story, because that's what we do when we're on the show, right? We're the ones who are telling, you know, you folks on TV of how it's going with our confessionals. So they want people that tell good stories. And you be full of energy, get all jacked up, drink a Red Bull maybe before you get on and do your video. And just tell the camera how much you love the show. Tell them that you watch Total Drama Island, that you do a podcast. That'd be funny. Anyway, that's my advice to get on. If you get on, you better get a hold of me, because I'll give you some inside tips on what to do once you get there. You know, because it's not about fire making and building a shelter or any of that stuff. So anyway, Matt, I think it's great. Like I said, again, I love the fact that you're a huge fan, and I'm going to leave you with one thing, one phrase. How about this? Last time on Dock of Shame. What about that? I'll do it one more time. Last time on Dock of Shame. Okay. Over and out, buddy. See ya.
And then it cuts to a cow that is crying, and I'm like, that is traumatizing.
I don't know shit.
We don't know much about the
beauty. Does this look like a beauty podcast to you? This is a total drama podcast.
But it's French bunion soup, not French onion. I see what they did there. I just got that joke.
Same. Where I bring this up.
Matt.
Who is this?
So he's a man called Troyzan, and he has been on Survivor.
Yeah.
So
Oh my god, dude.
So I get a text one day from Matt, and he doesn't tell me anything. He just he lists three people. It's like pick a person from Survivor. And I was just like, okay, Troy Zen. and then ultimately that was the result of that.
Wow. That is insane.
Yeah,
I don't know what I was expecting. It wasn't that.
No, I really want to thank Troy Zen. He had this like amazing energy, and I was definitely already leaning towards him, but I was like, let me check with Chris first. So I sent him my request, and then he texted me back, and he was like, "Hi there. So this is for Matt, and your name is Matt as well. Just want to make sure. Hi. So how old is Matt? Does he want to be on Survivor? Because I can give him some tips. Thank. Let me know, Troy Zan." I was like, "Yes. Yeah, so, well, sorry for the confusion. He's 23, and some tips would be awesome."
And just to round it out, the other two people that Matt sent me, and it was before that we had any conversations about your past Survivor stuff, Matt, was Siri Fields. Also Rob Sesterino, but I am very glad that we chose Troy Zan now.
I'm glad that we chose Troy Zan. I like those other two, but out of those three, getting an intro from Troy Zan, holy fuck. I gotta tell my dad about this.
I'm so glad that you enjoyed it. I feel like that was, like, it's our first celebrity appearance, essentially, in our podcast, so that's why I appreciate it the most.
The implications of a Survivor player who I've watched on TV, knowing that I run a podcast on about the animated parody of Survivor, and
you've made it, friend.
but just that a Survivor player knows I exist, and this is what he knows me about.
It's great. Though.
I'm trying to just grasp with that reality.
No, it's wonderful, dude. I think it's great because it shows that like you're like a true fan, and that's and like I mean you've always been like a big like cartoon guy, and you've been big into competitions, and then this was Total Drama Island. It's kind of like the perfect blend of the two, and so it is. So like, but like, dude, like if that's what they know you from, that's what they know you for, and that's and it works out though because they know that you're a big fan.
Yeah.
And if you get on Survivor, you gotta let Troy Zan know.
Yeah, I will.
Rich, I feel like based on how hard he went on that video, I feel like he'll definitely remember you now.
I'm speechless.
do you want us to do the intro?
I feel like that was the intro, and then like after the intro, My name is Walsh, and welcome to the Duck and Shane podcast. 8 minutes in.
Join with me is
Chris. My
name is Chris. We just got a shout out from a contestant on Survivor, which is pretty neat. I think Matt, you're next on the order of the order.
Am I?
No, Gabe, go next. I want to save Matt for last.
Okay.
My name is Gabe, and I don't know a lot about Survivor, so I kind of feel like,
I didn't know anything, and then I was just like, oh my god, this guy has so much like amazing energy.
And
I'm Matt, and usually I start it, but I'm kind of just speechless right now. Nor do I know how I'm gonna fucking edit this.
we'll figure it out. But y'all should use Cameo. It's a fun app where you could buy out a celebrity to do something give a shout out to someone. Not everything. They won't do everything, but you obviously like wish happy birthday or whatever, or sing a song or whatever it may be. It's really good. We've been using it a lot over the last month for our friends with like the birthday stuff that's been happening.
And very, very big thank you to Troy Zan. Thank you so much, Troy
Zan. Shout outs to Troy Zan. Fun player to watch for sure.
Yeah, I watched some like best of clips, and I was like, oh, this is great. I love him already.
So this is a podcast about Total Drama Island, as Troy Zan said.
But this is now a podcast about Troy Zan.
We're officially just gonna talk about Troy Zan for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah. God, I don't even know like how to transition.
I broke Matt a little. I'm sorry.
You broke me. No, it's fine.
It's we spoke this on you real quick. Well,
so to start off, in the introduction, a couple notes that I had was at the very beginning during the last time.
First of all, what's the name of this episode?
This is No Pain, No Game.
Okay.
This is why I don't
usually episode 15.
Yeah.
Yes. So. The first thing that I even noticed before the general notes we have here that Matt always takes and I always really appreciate, I didn't realize, but when the guys all like kind of like cheer as they're getting on the boat, Jeff takes his hat off and his hat is like just off. And I don't think I've really seen Jeff without his hat too much. And I just forgot what his hair looks like. And I think that was the thing, like it just immediately caught me off guard to start. And I was like, oh my God. But I also think during the introduction of Chris, just Matt, you wrote it down. Do you want to share it?
So this is my favorite recap, maybe in the entire series, because Chris is talking about the girls group, and he says, "Now that Heather has drawn the line, will Ashauna cross the line? Will Bridget mend the line before Gwen shreds the line? And can Lindsay recognize any line that isn't a tan line?" Which is amazing writing. I love it. I love that bit.
And then of course go on with Chris saying like the most exciting episode yet.
Yeah. So the episode begins after the theme song. I think I've composed myself now. Thank you for filling in. The girls are on the beach, just kind of doing nothing. They're silent. Heather is about to hit a fly that's on her nose, and Lindsay hits Heather in the face instead. And Heather gets up and shouts, "You are a total," and then the yacht horn sounds. Because the guys are back.
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back. Gonna do it again. Gonna wake up the neighborhood.
The guys come back on the yacht. Owen and DJ really enjoyed the spa treatments. DJ mentioning that they really fix his alligator elbows. Lashana's upset because those should have been her alligator elbows that got fixed. Owen offers the some chocolate coated cherry blossoms, and she throws something at him and hits him out of his hand. And there's a bit more of ribbing that the girls are jealous and the guys are all super tight with each other. And then Chris comes on the loudspeaker and announces that there are no more teams. Every camper is for themselves.
I thought this was a brilliant segue because the guys were just gushing about each other. And then Chris was just like, yeah, everyone. Yeah, no more teams. Everyone's out there for yourselves. And then Duck is just like, yeah, well, I guess we should all fly solo now. All right. And they all just kind of like scoff at each other. It's great.
Yep.
Except for Owen.
Go ahead.
Except for Owen, which I think we'll go into.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they see that a boat is coming and they're all shocked and they look out and Eva has returned.
Yeah.
With
who?
Flames being brought behind her. She was eliminated second.
Yeah. Remember Eva?
Yeah.
Remember?
She was back by popular audience demand, according to Chris. Who later clarifies that, well, no, not really, but we liked her. And she gets off the boat and is pissed off at the Bass Tribe for voting her out the first time. And then Gwen starts talking to the speaker and she's like, hey, remember all those times that you said that once you leave, you can never come back ever? And then Chris is like, I did. And there's a flashback through like all the times that he said that, like just cutting through him saying that same sentence. And then Chris is like, oh, well, I lied.
Same shit we were talking about last episode. Like, yeah, well, I lied.
Yeah, they just make it, they make the shit up as they go, you know.
It's fine. So Eva is standing behind Bridget and is panting angrily at Bridget. Because even though the entire Bass voted her off.
Oh, wait, sorry. I just love though that as Gwen's confronting Chris, I don't know, maybe someone said this already, but that Lashana comes through is like, "You're reasoning with a loudspeaker."
Oh yeah, that's a good line.
See, it's fine when Gwen reasons with a loudspeaker, but when I do it, it's like, no, stop talking to Siren Head over there.
And then also coming back is Izzy, who claims that she never actually left the island, and to be fair, also was not voted out.
My queen, she has returned.
It was in this moment when she was explaining everything that she was doing that I was just like, man, I fucking love Izzy.
Izzy's great. The RCMP tried to hunt her down, she avoided them, and then she befriended the beavers. Lived with the beavers, and then was scratching her ear like an animal. And then was just like, so what's up with you guys?
She takes a full fucking, like, bite of a raw fish to while exploring.
The head!
Fantastic. The head. Oh, yeah, that made me think. I was like, I wrote this down. I was like, if they had Izzy during the last episode, like, Izzy would have fucking killed it. And you know that.
Oh, she would have. Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
They would have had to bring one guy, one girl back, though, rather than two girls.
I guess so.
Yeah. Owen is excited to get on with the challenge and tries to high-five Duncan, but Duncan's like, no, dude, we're solo now. And I was like, oh, okay.
My heart goes out to Owen.
Yeah. Eva enters the cabin and starts to make things hell for Bridget, as I wrote. Like, I want Bridget's bed. She sucks. And Lashana's standing up for her. And then there's this line that Lashana... So, this is a censored moment. In the actual version, Eva calls Lashana Thunder Thighs. In the US, it's changed to just girlfriend.
So what does Lashana come back with? Like, oh, she did not just, like...
She says,
girlfriend.
Tell me the macho mama with butt cheeks tighter than my weave did not just say that.
That is fucking great. The writing is so fucking good for this.
It is.
By the way, there's a moment, and I forget when it happens, but like I think it's when Eva first walks in where someone says, like, yeah, we're all gonna get along, right, Heather? And Heather's just like, oh... goes down for 5 seconds and comes back with all the duct tape already pulled off. And man, I want Heather's talent of pulling up duct tape in 5 seconds. Because that was
funny.
Amazing.
It was just like all in one ball.
Fear can make you do anything. And then Lindsay asks if they can just work it out over locale snacks.
My queen.
We go to the challenge, and it is the game Say Uncle, which is they're going to be tortured, and you got to last for as long as you can, and if you don't, then you are eliminated. Last for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Getting tortured. If you do not last that long, you're eliminated. So I like the game show set because it is literally made of trash. Like one person is in front of a sink.
I don't even know if I paid attention to that, but that's good detail.
Yeah, it's just like a bunch of junk. Whoever wins this challenge is immune for the week, and also wins a trailer that they get to both live in during. The rest of the game, and also take it home with them at the end of the summer.
Did they? Did they talk about when explaining the rules of this challenge? Did they talk about the idea of whoever like passes their challenge can then challenge another person to take a dare or whatever it is?
Not at this moment. It's after Lindsay goes.
Okay.
The rules are a little inconsistent.
Okay, yeah, that it doesn't. Sure. It doesn't. They don't state it until it happens. Weird.
Yeah, they don't say it until it happens, basically.
Yeah, that was very confusing. I was just like, wait, when did this come into play?
So Chef comes out. He's wearing a hockey mask. It is time for the Wheel of Misfortune, and Duncan gets to go first. The interns, who are very underrated background characters who don't get a lot of time in this season but do in post-World Tour seasons on how much they are tortured, we're collecting snapping turtles that Chef is now going to hit as hockey pucks towards Duncan. Chris mentions to Duncan that he would protect his coconuts.
So
I think this is the first mention of coconuts, and it gets mentioned a lot as coconuts from here on out.
So this is, well, they even mention the intern when they're like describing the game, how all of the, like all of the say uncle, I guess, quote unquote games were like done by interns at first, and how most of them are now in the ER.
Yes.
And, I wrote this down because I thought it was so fucking funny, but when like Chris comes over, like right before he tells him to like, you know, like watch his coconuts, he just looks like genuinely like scared
for
his life.
Yeah. So like the whole time when he's explaining the challenge, Duncan is just staring into space and rubbing his arm. I thought that was such great like detail of like the characters and their reaction to things. It was great.
Hold on, I'm going to share, because I actually screenshot it, because I thought it was, like, so, like, weirdly cute and, like, scared. Aww. Like, Duncan was just genuinely scared. He's got, like, his, like, hands, like, that together, like, up by his chest, and he's, like, he's, like, that one meme, like, this for me, but he just looks genuinely scared.
Like, this is the first time I've actually had, like, some sympathy for Duncan, because he very much, like, looked like his life was flashing before his eyes. like, 5 second span.
Yeah.
No, we don't get a lot of Duncan in this one, but I definitely enjoyed, I think, like, Duncan is slowly getting a little bit better.
Yes.
Yeah. And Duncan does manage to move on, even though he does get a turtle to the crotch. Because there's a lot of those in this show.
Gotta go for the crotch.
Yep. We get a quick scene of Trent who's trying to talk to Gwen.
It's like make it baby, but you gotta go for the crotch. That's the two keys to media nowadays. Yep.
So I know that Trent has been like injured for a lot of the time post when the buried alive thing happened. But it's weird that they bring this up right this moment.
Yes, I thought that was very strange as well.
Yeah. And then it's like Gwen is still mad, and then she's fine immediately.
But it felt like
after he says something sweet.
Yeah, go on.
I was just gonna say I think the one thing that they did do consistently though in this sense was that I don't think that Gwen and Trent had a single interaction since that moment.
Honestly, other than Gwen trying to figure out if Trent wrote the note,
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trent either didn't speak or was concussed or otherwise incapacitated.
Yeah. It felt like they were like, all right, let's try to continue on with like their kind of will they, won't they shtick. Mm-hmm. But then they were like, we never really like finished that issue. I'm like, well, I guess that's a segue into the next part of it. It's like, all right, we had fun beating up Trent. I guess we'll make him the love interest again.
Yeah. He went from test dummy to hunk once more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Although if we are going to go from Trent being like sad backstory is now his thing instead of just like punching bag, I think I am going to enjoy that a lot more because I just find it so funny.
Yeah. It is really something with Trent, and I don't know if it's totally through this season. We get a little bit of it in action too.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay is up next, and she has to get waxed with hot marshmallow goop, and is actually like looking forward to it. Is like relatively fine with it. Gwen and Trent exchange that Trent doesn't want to do that, and Gwen mentions guys are total wimps when it comes to beauty and pain.
So fucking true.
Which true?
So fucking true.
Where was I? Okay. Lindsay comes off of it, loved it, loved how smooth her face felt, and since she didn't complain at all, she gets to choose who goes next.
I swear I thought her eyebrows were going to come off.
Also, she says, thanks, Chip. That's the guy.
Yeah, thanks, Chip. No, yeah.
Was it Chip or Chet?
I think it was Chip this time.
Yeah, Chip. Shit. Fuck. I wrote Chet. But it was still funny nonetheless.
Yeah. And Lindsay's like, no, that's okay. And then Eva decides to whisper in her ear to go for Bridget and tell her what to say. And Bridget is a little bit terrified. Eva's just fucking pissed.
You know, real quick, I don't know if this is the time to actually get into this character a little bit, but I just wanted to say, like, obviously, like, I wouldn't think I would like Eva generally, but man, I wish she was around longer. Because I feel like what you have with, like, a Heather, where Heather is just, like, the typical mean girl, where it's just, like, nice to your face and then will stab you in the back, and also just a bitch to your face as well. Eva's just constantly, like, a dick, and I kind of wish I had the dynamic with this added into the bunch a little bit more. I feel like Eva's, like, aggressive nature, especially with her, like, wanting to get revenge, like, I wish that she was around longer on the show.
Yeah, it's interesting to just think about the series antagonists as a whole, mm-hmm. going from season to season, because each season has one.
Sure.
And obviously it's not Eva in Island, but I was trying to think of the most like physically intimidating dickish villain in the series, and I think it might either be Scott from Revenge of the Island or Mal from All Stars. Mal being one of Mike's personalities.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Mal is just like pure evil for the sake of being evil. It's not a good character. Scott actually does it kind of well. I like Scott overall as an antagonist.
I'm pretty sure Mal literally means in like Latin evil.
It does.
which is why, you know, like you get Mal in a lot of like character names like Maleficent or yeah. But the other thing I wanted to say about Eva was maybe you guys remember better from Eva's elimination. I know like Eva might not know it, but it pretty much was like Heather who stole and hit her iPod. And then
it was.
Eva got like real mad about it. And then everybody was like, wow, that, she's kind of like very scary. And like, let's eliminate her. But like, was Bridget really that big of a like a thing?
No,
I think it was pulling off of like one diary room session. I call it diary room because Big Brother, apologies. But like the one like side session where Bridget did say that like she needed anger management. That I think that was really the only thing that kind of stuck. So like I stand by like me like I love Eva as a character to consistently be on the show. I don't understand the writing on this one.
Yeah, I know what I can understand like hyper fixating on like they're the asshole who told me to get like anger management classes. You know.
Yeah.
So I can understand that instead of, you know, like, just being mad at everybody.
Yeah. Mm.
So rather than Bridget doing the just being a, was it leeches? A barrel of leeches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff volunteers to take her place. And this is there's a confusing explanation here that gets figured out later on, that I figured out later on. When Jeff takes Bridget's place, Chris mentions that if the person you pick succeeds or fails, you get eliminated instead. So what happens is if Jeff going in for Bridget succeeds in this challenge, Eva gets eliminated, is what would happen.
Oh, okay.
It is not explained well at all.
Yeah, that I was confused by too.
Yep.
I thought it was like if Jeff fails, then it's Bridget. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jeff... it goes in the barrel. He's making a lot of faces and then leaps out. And then Chris is like, oh, you did so good. And then cuts to the clock and it's 9 seconds, .9999999, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think he said like to the millionth decibel.
Yeah, it's so dumb, but it's really funny.
It's like, oh, but it's not 10.
So he goes back to his seat, which is now just gallows.
That was a very funny detail of like, well, now that you've lost, you have to now like hang in these gallows.
Yep. Owen is up next, and he's in wooden pants, and he's like, "Oh, this doesn't seem so bad." And then Chef produces a woodpecker, and Owen screams. Gwen gets her nose hairs. I wrote trimmed. It's more pulled.
Yeah, more yanked, actually. Yanked, very violently. Yeah.
DJ has to be constricted by a snake. Bridget is covered in bees. And since Bridget succeeded, the next thing came up was you have to spend 10 seconds in a crate with Sasquatch Anakwa, which is one of my favorite names ever.
It's nice.
Since Bridget didn't complain, she got to choose who went next, and everyone was going Eva, 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 and Bridget nods, so Eva goes in. There's a lot of screaming. Eva comes out with Sasquatch head and Sasquatch feet.
So good. So good.
It's like, because like while there's all the screaming, it's like hair is coming out of the crate too. And you hear like a little bit of shaving, and then like she's just wearing like, I mean like you to pull that off, you'd need to like skin him, but also like it was just like the fur, and it was very funny.
She's a fashion designer. They just don't really explicitly express it in the show, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so she comes out just like that, totally good. Which I think eliminates Bridget, since Eva succeeded.
Yes.
Yep. Trent now has to hop over skunks. Skunk sprays him. He passes out. That's just torture for everyone around them. Gwen has to listen to new age music, which I feel like was a bigger meme in 2008.
Yeah, I didn't get it, but I thought it was funny though. Like I thought it was great. I was just like, I understand it though.
I paused for a split second because I had to do something, and then I looked back and all I saw was just like space and floating floating asteroids and a unicorn, and I was like, is this the same show?
The dumb shit about the music they chose though is that it's barely anything.
It's not even new age.
It's a few sounds.
It's like it's like it sounds like just like the ocean. It's like
it's not like you can't spend 10 seconds listening to that.
They should have done like Hatsune Miku, like
yeah,
they wanna make the memes.
Lindsay is up next and surprisingly doesn't want her hair chainsawed off.
Surprising.
So, she loses. Owen's thing is getting a brain freeze. I want to know when the timer was supposed to start.
Yeah,
compared to how much ice cream he ate.
Yeah, because there's like three or four empty tubs, and then he's finishing up the last tub, and I think the timer starts, but then the timer goes off before he gets the brain freeze.
It's like right when he brain freezes.
Yeah, it's like, and then he reacts. It almost to me, it felt like the timer put him in a brain freeze. It was like it was like that close, but like slightly before.
Izzy is next. She is shocked by eels, like electric eels, like a defibrillator, and then asks to do it again. And then since she did a good job, didn't complain, she gets to choose who goes next and asks if she can go again. And then Chris gets a call from the producers, and he's like, "No, yep, she wants to do it." And then hands up and is like, "Okay, they'll let you do it, but they just want to know why." And she's just like, "I think it would be cool." And it's a poison ivy wrap, like a seaweed wrap, but with poison ivy. And they go to take it off. And she's like, "No, keep it." And then I think the logic is because she nominated herself to do the challenge, and then won the challenge. She eliminated herself since she nominated herself.
That was my favorite line of this entire show. It's like, you eliminated yourself. Good job.
Yep.
Just fucking, it's like DJ Khaled. Meme.
Right. played yourself.
That definitely took me a second, though. I was like, wait, how? But she did it.
Right.
I was like, oh.
So now the only two left are Lashana and Eva, and it basically comes down to Lashana being able to complete her task. And what it is a grizzly bear log roll, where she has to do the log roll thing.
The bear's named Molotov, by the way.
Against a Russian bear named Molotov.
I'd also like to point out, now that we are past the, what is it, the, like, the Wheel of Misfortune? What was it? Is that what it was called?
Yeah. Yes.
All of the challenges we have seen so far, we're not on that wheel. I'm pretty sure we see every icon come up, and there were, like, more challenges than there was, like, symbols
that's,
on that wheel.
That is true. But, so she and the bear are staring down, and then they start running, and she's running pretty well, and then just decides, you know what, let's do this. Runs faster, trips up the bear. She stops the log. The bear gets crotch shot, and then spins around the wheel, gets piranha'd. I didn't mention that. It's in piranha water.
Yes, which Chris says is like would be surely mean death.
Right. So the bear swirls around, gets piranha'd, and is now naked, which means that Eva is eliminated by default, I guess.
Yeah.
Don't know how that works in the rules.
If we're talking reality TV right now, this is the moment where I'm like, oh, Lashana's the front runner here. She's right. The fucking contender. This is great. She's a beast.
She is.
No, yeah. That is definitely why, like, that's definitely a reason I like this episode so much, was, like, we got to see Lashana a bit more, like in the front, you know?
Yeah. And she did great. So Lashana is immune, Eva is fucking pissed, and Lashana taunts her about it. Because Eva can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And then we cut. Lashana like is happy, goes to her trailer, and then the cut between.
Wait!
This
you
hold on. No! You can't. No. You can't pass this.
You can't leave
actually,
out the fact.
Actually,
that
wait!
She
wait! Before we even get
heated, Chef.
Oh, I missed that part.
You missed that.
You missed that.
I missed that.
Okay, she hold fucking... on. I need to show you it. Like this isn't. This is no joke.
This is insane. She fucking yeets him and hugs the trailer.
God, that was... I thought that was a bow. I didn't notice that it was Chef. It didn't register in my mind.
So, okay, but even before then, I was even going to say that... I was going to say, like, Lashana's definitely on there for more than 10 seconds. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like... The thing is, like, and you need to do 10 seconds, right? Not, like... Just
not like
fucking survive.
Right.
Yeah.
All true.
If you watch the YouTube version that I just sent, I think it's around 18:45. And okay. She just grabs, like, she's walking over to the trailer that Chef is presenting, just, like, yeah. Grabs him in a bear hug from behind and fucking throws him, like, a fucking
on camera.
I totally missed that was Chef. That's amazing.
Oh, that was it was so good. And then the fucking moment that follows it.
The moment that follows it, which is the cut to the campfire ceremony, which is Chef is standing in front of the moon in the woods and howls.
Yeah, he howls like a wolf. Like, I just wrote down Chef howls with three question marks.
Like, I'm trying to I'm trying to rationalize this in terms of, like, what was happening. If it was Chef was just out there doing it, or if he was, if Chris and production were like, hey, we need, like, a shot of a wolf howling. Can you go out and pretend to do it?
I this is, like, one of the rare times where I'm just like, man, I don't even need the context.
This is great.
What does
no,
it mean?
Chef is a furry.
Yes.
I had a feeling that's what you were going to say.
Wow, it's a full moon. This would be a great night for a werewolf to come out.
Chef is a secret werewolf. It's like that game Secret Hitler or whatever it is.
But it's Secret Werewolf.
What?
Secret Werewolf.
But Secret Hitler is like a variation of Werewolf and Mafia. So
that's true. I forgot.
Like it's
I forgot.
Already Werewolf.
There's already Werewolf. I forgot about
yeah.
that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is Secret Hitler?
They mention it's like Mafia.
Yeah, it's like Mafia.
Yeah.
But you can imagine my confusion not knowing what that is.
Sorry, yeah, no, yeah, that for a lot of people that don't know, they're like, wait, what? Why? What did Hitler come up during a total drama?
No, it's a game. It's a game. Chris mentions that they ran out of marshmallows and Owen weeps. Nice. And then instead of, you know, reading the votes, Chris decides to show the voting confessionals. And it's Duncan and Eva voting for Heather. Duncan saying that he thinks that Heather was involved with getting Courtney out.
Which is not true, right?
Which is not true, but that's what he thinks.
Which is what? Yeah.
It was all Harold. And then Eva is threatening the camera, threatening everyone else, and then also votes for Heather. And then everyone else talks about how crazy Eva is. They want to vote her out. Bridget even mentions, I am so glad you never air these. But, you know, drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't...
Eva, go ahead.
Yeah, they weren't... I was going to say they weren't in that order, but
no, they weren't.
They made that so funny to watch them.
Yeah.
I wrote down Lindsay's was, I vote off Ava. Because she's scarier than Heather, LaQuisha, and Gwen combined.
Fucking LaQuisha.
Lindsay's just insane, man.
Lindsay is fantastic. I didn't appreciate her when I was younger. She is a great character.
She is.
I definitely did not appreciate it either. I also found it interesting that Eva voted for Heather and not, like, Bridget. You know,
I think that Eva was still like trying to do strategy.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Trying to think like, well, that's who the most people are probably going to go for. So
right.
It'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Eva still very clearly wanted to play the game.
Yeah.
And I think that vote for Heather proved that. Mm-hmm. Eva is yelling angrily and has to be boated away in a straitjacket restraining her as she is going away, which we can. We don't need to necessarily mention the connotation of crazy people or insane, whatever.
No, to me, it was much more like a physical restraint.
Physical restraint, yeah.
Yeah.
Izzy, and then as she's leaving, she shouts out, Izzy lied. She wasn't on the island. She was, and then Izzy cuts her off, and she's like, hey, let's go party on in Lashana's trailer. Where was Izzy?
Yeah, that's
where was she?
I actually forget this plot line, so
I think I know what it's alluding to, but I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, I would like to find that out eventually.
Yeah,
I have no idea, so I'm like, whoa, we're getting like this plot's getting another dimension.
Yeah,
and then we get another scene where one thing about Jeff in his voting, he mentions that he can't find his other lucky hat.
Yes.
And then we cut over to in the woods where a couple suitcases are out. And the poor Sasquatch tries on Jeff's hat because he needs something on his head. That's where it is. Cut over to the bear, the Molotov, the furless bear. And he puts on either Sadie or Katie's clothes.
Yes.
And then does the ee.
I didn't realize that that's what he did.
Yeah,
I adore that ending.
It was so good.
It was the best. It was one of the best endings to the shows to this point. It's so good. Even if you want to go back, like to the showing of the confessionals, I think was a fun idea, and I loved the underlying Izzy storyline introduced of like where was she actually. Like, there was so much about this ending and this whole episode that was just so good. So very good.
It was really, it was pretty good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was a good episode.
I'll start out with ratings.
Yep.
I'm gonna go with an 8. I think that the very strong first individual immunity challenge, we had a lot of the cutting back and forth again, which you kind of have to do when everything is so individual like this. And the show was so short, so I didn't mind that much. I thought that the challenges were funny. We get to see these characters in different situations. Fantastic ending. The concept of bringing people back, too, is one of my favorite things in reality shows.
Yeah.
Some people don't agree with me, but I'm totally fine with returning players getting a second chance. It's a very cool thing. And overall just worked out really well, and it's fantastic setup for the rest of the post merge.
I'll go next.
Okay.
I think I'm going to give this one, I don't want to go this high because I feel like weird going this high, but I don't know what else to like fault it for. Cause
whatever,
to me, I'd probably put it at a 9. I think maybe like the pacing was a little weird, and like some things maybe weren't fully, you know, like explained, like the rules and the things like that. But other than that, I definitely really enjoyed this episode. Only did we really get like a lot more of these characters, where now I feel like that, you know, the cast is like a bit smaller, we're able to get a lot more, you know, personal interactions, and it's not like we're focusing on, because I think that you could tell the strategy at the beginning when there was a lot of characters, it was like, well, there's a lot, but we'll just focus on either like the one who's gonna get eliminated, or like
someone from the main group that will make it far.
Yes. Whether that be like we're gonna focus on like Gwen and Trent, and they're like, oh, they have a relationship, or we're gonna focus on Heather, you know, being, you know, trying to be sneaky. That would definitely felt like it, but now it feels a lot, and maybe it's just because like we haven't had like a more real feeling elimination, so they haven't had to, you know, like really focus on a character to be eliminated. It hasn't felt too forced.
Right.
But it, and then with Eva, of course, and Izzy coming back, you know, you got both of those characters still in their own spotlights. It didn't feel like it was like trying to push for one thing. So I felt like it did very well that way.
I'll go. I'm with you, Matt. Or Walsh. I'm with you on 9. I thought that this was. I think this is why I gave. Because I did the ratings after I watched both episodes. I think this is why I rated the last episode as low as I did, because I felt like this episode really showcased the first time of making everyone feel like an individual. And it really, like, I just felt like it was so strong from a character point of view. I love the characters they brought back, because I think with both Eva and Izzy, there was a lot more there to kind of go for, like a lot more that you could build on with those characters. I obviously, Eva's now gone, so that only lasted an episode, but she served the purpose that I guess she needed to.
Yeah.
I thought the challenge was fun, even though it was confusing as hell, and I just, this was the Shauna, like, if this was happening in real time and we were doing power rankings of the other contestants, Lashana would be number one after this episode, if she even wasn't already on there, just because she just proved that she's such a competitive beast, and that she has such a strong social game that only Heather really hates her, and who cares about what Heather thinks. And I thought this was just all around a really solid episode and really funny.
I agree with you. Gabe,
you guys pretty much explained it all. Like, I'm gonna give it a 9 too.
Awesome. I almost feel bad giving it an 8 now.
Hey, say,
no, you're good.
Actually, I think this is the first time that I've been the lowest rater on an episode.
Wow.
Which, like, an 8 versus 9, it's whatever. But that's just funny.
Yeah.
To me.
No, yeah. I think that there's some fair criticism of this episode, but I felt like I could overlook them for the most part with this one.
Yeah. All right, that will do it for this episode of Dock of Shame.
Except for Rama.
Oh, except for the Rama, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I almost skipped it. That was not intentional, I promise, as sarcastic as sounded.
No, that is totally okay. Sorry, I have one pulled up, but I just want to double check my list just to make sure we have not done it before. Just double checking. No. Okay. All right. So last time we did the first episode of the first season, I now want to take you to the last episode of the first season, which is episode 51. This one is coming in from Lori Elliott. Thank you, Lori.
I hate that you do that every time.
And the title of the episode is Stink, Stank, Stunk.
Oh, no. Okay.
Perfect.
When a skunk comes seeking its annual revenge on Chef.
Annual?
Duncan sees it as an opportunity to get a break from daycare.
Who does?
Duncan.
Duncan.
My boy who wants to escape.
God, this is one of those moments where I'm like, what do you mean by annual? What's the backstory there?
Annual revenge. That is such great storytelling in such little words.
Whoever wrote these show descriptions deserves more praise than the ones who actually write these episodes.
Oh, actually, okay, I just realized something. I might start going to this. On the Total Dramarama wiki, they do share a much shorter version of the plot. So I will also share this with you guys, too.
Okay.
When an old rivalry between the teacher and a skunk arises again, he enlists four of his students to help him get rid of the rodent. Meanwhile, two others are trying to make the teacher's predicament a vacation.
Okay.
Okay. So,
I do like annual revenge better.
I do too.
I'll use the wiki as like if we like feel like we need more information.
Okay.
But
which
won't be much because it'll just be another two sentences.
Yeah. This episode's not even an hour long, but I do. Could you just if you're already on the page, can you just look into why this annual thing happens? Because I'm really curious now.
Wait, hold on. It shows plot, but it only shows, like, a paragraph of it. Am I missing, like, something here? But there's a bunch of photos in, like, the gallery. This is so weird. I'm going to try, like, reloading the page. This might be an issue. Plot. Gwen asks Duncan why he is laughing like an evil character from a cartoon. Duncan laughed because he finally finished his escape tunnel yesterday. Duncan notices that his escape tunnel disappeared. Duncan and Gwen find out it was Chef who got rid of Duncan's escape tunnel. And then there's no more... There's just nothing else.
Okay, I guess it's a stub or something.
But then there's like a gallery that basically shows the episode almost plot point for plot point. Like, each one of these statements has a photo next to it. Duncan laughs. Gwen asks Duncan why he's laughing like an evil character from a cartoon. Duncan laughs because he finally finished his escape tunnel yesterday. Duncan notices that his escape... Oh, actually, you know what? I'll just use this. Okay. Find out that it was Chef who did it. Chef goes to check the doors again. Chef tells the kids that no one opens any doors or windows today because Chef is hiding from someone. The kids wonder who Chef is looking for. Chef tells the kids that he's hiding from a skunk. And when Chef was a kid, he accidentally stepped on a skunk's tail. The skunk sprayed Chef for stepping on his tail. The kids think that Chef's story was horrible, but then every day on this day, the skunk hunts him down and sprays him again. Chef once went to the middle of the ocean to hide from the skunk, and the skunk found Chef and sprayed on him again. I'd now like to point out that by the gallery, in the photos, it's like Chef as like a younger teen, Chef as like an older teen at like the movies with a date, and then he gets sprayed. Chef is sitting on a cruise ship, but then the cruise ship almost has this like atomic bomb explosion that like of stink that is on there, and then the skunk prepares to get his revenge on Chef again, and it's the skunk like working out, but like also looking at a calendar with like X's on them.
I think this show might be better than we think it is.
Just might be. Oh my! I kind of want to watch this episode now. There's like a cardboard cutout of Chef.
No, we're
fucking,
not.
Is this like fucking like Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 with the fucking?
I
McElroy's,
don't know. I'm not watching. I'm not watching this show anymore.
When they start turning and like be like, you know what? Maybe it's not the.
Yeah, and it's been the past 2 years have been no. It's awful.
Yeah.
This has been the Dock of Shame podcast. Thank you to Walsh for that amazing surprise at the start, and thank you for to Troyzan. If you're listening to this, I'd be very surprised. I'm sorry. I don't have another way to end this. See y'all next time.
The Dock of Shame podcast is brought to you by Team Chaos Productions. Find us on Twitter @DockofShame and find more of our work at Team Chaos Pods.